Sefendimiz Süleyman İyice Pleşu Eğitim'de Ruz. Allahu Ekber. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, the lessons of tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf will take place. For those requested to participate, inshallah, beneficial. Allahu anta salam, kis salam, tu wa tiyad, shayna wa rikram, Allahu inna ala dhikrika, shukrika, rasnulati, Allahu anta salam. Allahu anta salam, yadi ma'atiyatun wa ma'atiyani wa minatun, fa'udhu wa kajit Allah, salli ala sayyidina wa lana muhammadin, ya sayyidina wa ma'ala, wa sallam. Allahu anta salam, yadi ma'atiyatun wa ma'atiyani wa minatun, fa'udhu wa صلى الله وسلم على نبينا الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله. إن شاء الله مختصر درس القرآن هو كنت شكرا فرمي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فوجد عبدا من عبادنا آتيناه رحمة من عندنا وعلمناه من لدنا علما قال له موسى هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا قال إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا وكيف تصبر على ما لم تحط به خبرا قال ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرا ولا أعصي لك أمرا قال فإن اتبعتني فلا تسألني عن شيء حتى أحدث لك منه ذكرا فانطلقا حتى إذا ركبا في السفينة خرقها قال أخرقتها لتغرق أهلها لقد جئت شيئا إمرا قال ألم أقل إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا قال لا تؤاخذني بما نسيت ولا ترهقني من أمري عسرا فانطلقا حتى إذا لقيا غلاما فقتله قال أقتلت نفسا زكية بغير نفس لقد جئت شيئا نكرا قال ألم أقل لك إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا قال إن سألتك عن شيء بعدها فلا تصاحبني قد بلغت من لدني عذرا فانطلقا حتى إذا أتيا أهل قرية استطعما أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما فوجدا فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا قال هذا فراق بيني وبينك سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين الحمد لله رب العالمين Inshallah, continuing from where we stopped last week. We were in the middle of the discussion where Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and his khadim, his attendant, his assistant, Sayyidina Yusha' bin Noon, they're traveling. And the reason behind this journey was Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam had made a statement. And he had said, when someone asked him, is there anyone more knowledgeable than you? Can there be anyone more knowledgeable than you? And he said, no. And he did this on the basis of understanding that he was the Nabi of Allah. And he was the greatest Nabi of Allah at that time. So he felt that no, in terms of Shariat, in terms of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have the most knowledge. No one else has more knowledge. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned last week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not pleased with this response. Because never does Allah ta'ala want us for a second to think that we are at the peak of something. Humility, tawadu', regarding yourself to be absolutely, have no idea, no knowledge, no understanding. Weakness, meekness, humbleness, this should be the quality of a believer. That I don't know anything. I don't know. And before this, as mentioned last week, so many examples came of Iblis and his arrogance, of the man who Allah blessed with the two brothers, one of them who Allah blessed with the beautiful garden, his arrogance. So every time Allah Ta'ala is mentioning examples of haughtiness and arrogance, and the opposite, where you have someone who says that, you know what, nothing is in my control. Allah knows best. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the most knowledgeable. So here, although he's a great Nabi of Allah, Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, from the greatest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prophets, yet Allah Ta'ala wanted to teach him a lesson that never ever feel in your mind you've understood Allah. I am the most knowledgeable means you think that I have the greatest amount of knowledge and that's it. So it's like you've understood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's distribution of ilm. Allah has given me most ilm. Allah ta'ala wanted to prove no. Even you as a great, you know, mighty Nabi of Allah, yet you also have a tiny drop of ilm. And there are others who have ilm that even you don't have. So he said, no, oh Musa, there's someone more knowledgeable than you. Musa alayhi salam said, ya Allah, I want to meet him. And we talked about this last week, I don't want to dwell too long on it, that Musa alayhi salam's enthusiasm and his yearning. Okay, if someone has more knowledge than me, I need to meet him. And the ayat came that I will travel as long as it takes, أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا. I will carry on going forever until I find this person who has more ilm than me. As a Nabi of Allah, he has so much responsibility, he has so many duties, yet he is so eager. If someone has ilm, I need to get it. And this is that, you know, desire that should be in the heart of any believer, that where I don't know some important ilm which is connected to my dealings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dealings with the creation of Allah ta'ala, I need to attain it. طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Seeking knowledge is fard on every Muslim. And then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam sets out on this journey. And then there are many tests which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in the journey. One of them is, take this fish with you. And wherever you feel, wherever you notice the fish has disappeared, that's where you will meet this person who has knowledge that you don't have. And they travel for a long period of time until they reach Majma'ul Bahrain. I discussed what Majma'ul Bahrain was last week. And then the fish disappeared. And then they kept on going until Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam became very tired, further emphasizing that the quest for ilm is one that you need to fully give your heart and mind and physical energy to. It's not something that can be done very easily. And all the statements I mentioned last week, chalo. So then Allah Ta'ala, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, I'm very tired, to Yusha bin Nun, who is also a Nabi of Allah according to most opinions, that bring me my you know, morning meal. Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun remembered then. And he said, you know what, you know when we stopped over there, the fish disappeared. When you were resting over there, the fish disappeared. I forgot to tell you. Now they made an extra journey and they returned back. They returned back to find the fish and to go to that part. So this is the returning. قَالَ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي. When the fish disappeared, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, that's what we were looking for. We were waiting for that time when the fish disappeared, and that's where we were going to meet this person who Allah Ta'ala has given ilm that I don't have. So, فَارْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا. They returned, retracing their footsteps. Now this is, I'm going to continue from, I know it's the middle of a story, so I thought I'd mention the previous ayat. فَوَجَدَ عَبْدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا. Allah Ta'ala says, when they both returned to Majma'ul Bahrain. I discussed where Majma'ul Bahrain was last week. Most Mufassirun, they mention different opinions. Allah knows the reality, but it seems to be the area near Egypt. So where you've got the today modern day what's known as Sharm el Sheikh. So you've got the Suez Canal, and from the other side you've got another strip, and then where they join near where modern day Sharm el Sheikh is, they say that's where Majma'ul Bahrain is. Other opinions are where the River Tigris, which is known as the Dajla, originally was known as Dajla, known as the Tigris River, and the Euphrates, which was known as Al-Furat, where the Dajla and Furat meet, where the Tigris and the Euphrates meet, that's where they met this person. And there are many other opinions. They mentioned that there are two branches of the River Nile where they join, that's where they met that person. Allah knows best. As I mentioned, the Spanish Mufassirun, the Andalusians, many of them, Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi, and Abu Hayyan al-Andalusi, and all of these great Mufassirun from Spain, they mentioned that the meeting point was somewhere near Spain. But somehow they also mentioned that Ashab al-Kahf were in Spain as well. So I think maybe they have, mashallah, a lot of love for their land. So they discover a lot of the things there. Allah knows best. Certain things Allah Ta'ala has kept hidden from us, and we don't need to go into it. So they went back there. They retraced their steps. And when they went over there, فَوَجَدَا عَبْدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا. They found a servant from our servants. One servant from our servants, آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا, who we had granted rahmah, mercy, from ourselves, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ from our side, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّ عِلْمًا, and we had taught him special knowledge from ourselves, directly to him. So many points in this ayah, so beautiful. This ayah is like a very powerful ayah in explaining the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawheed, oneness of Allah. Nobody should think in their mind, that we think this person is a pious person, is a saint of Allah, can do miracles, can do this and that. So our aqeedah bigger jata hai. You know, a person's beliefs, they get corrupted. That this person can do this, this person can achieve this. This person that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is about to meet is going to do the most mind-blowing things. He has knowledge no one can comprehend, but straight away Allah Ta'ala has brought the issue of tawheed. He is a servant from our servants. He's not doing anything from his side. Whatever he's able to do is because we have given him the ability to do it.
So nobody's aqeedah should change. But look, kisi buzurg se mulaqat karke, when we meet some pious person, and Allah has given that pious person certain abilities, they can do certain things, now the person, he will do it. To the extent that when that buzurg passes away, we go to their qabr and say, Hazrat ji, aap mera ye mushkil hal kar do. Because we go to the grave of that pious person saying, oh pious person, please resolve this issue of mine, because I'm thinking the pious person is doing it. So here in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning the tawheed, the importance of tawheed. That wherever, even if a saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala makes certain khawariqul adad, certain miraculous things take place at their hands, never ever for one second should our mind go to the fact that he is responsible for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving him the ability to do it. Subhanallah, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, you know, wherever in the Quran we say that Isa alayhi salam does the miracles, he mentions, bi-idhni, bi-idhni, bi-idhni, wa tuhyil mawta bi-idhni. وَتُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ بِإِذْنِي. That, oh Isa, you are able, alayhi salam, you are able to give the blind back the eyesight. You're able to cure the leper with my permission. You're able to raise the dead from, you know, the dead and bring them back to life with my permission. Mere ijazat se. Then nothing happens without Allah Ta'ala's ijazah. Never ever think that this person himself is able to do something. So automatically this tawheed is established. Over there they found a servant from our servants. Ekwatana, they found our servant. فَوَجَدَ عَبْدَنَا. They found our servant. Making very special. Allah Ta'ala has made him more insignificant. One servant from our many servants. Matlab, we have so many people who have ilm like this person has. This is just one example. Never underestimate who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Bahut kuch Allah Ta'ala ne chupaya hai. So many things Allah has hidden in this universe, we will never ever discover. Never ever know. This is how great Allah Ta'ala is. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. We've not really valued and appreciated Allah Ta'ala the way He deserves to be appreciated. آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. We gave Him rahmah. Some ulama say on the basis of rahmah that we gave Him nubuwa. We gave Him prophethood. They say this person that they met, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he was a Nabi of Allah. His name will come. His name was Khidr. His name is not mentioned in the Quran, Khidr. Some say Khadir or Khidr. And this is in the riwayat of Imam Bukhari, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, mentions the whole hadith. Well, his name was Khidr. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun, they arrived there, they found a man lying down. And he was covered with a shawl, and his head and his feet were all draped with one shawl, and he was just resting. Musa alayhi salam said, Assalamu alaikum. Sayyidina Khidr removed the shawl, he looked up, and he was very astonished. He said, Hadihi ardun, hadha sawt ajibun fi ardina hadha. That this salam, this voice you've said, is a very strange thing in this land. Nobody gives salam here. So from here, many of the Mufassirun mentioned that they were not in a Muslim land, a land of Muslims. That it's not a place where people give salam. Sayyidina Khidr looked up, who is this person who's given salam? So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, I'm Musa. And I'm Musa. Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam said, Musa banu Israel. Musa bani Israel. Are you Musa from banu Israel? So he knew in his head, Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, that Musa alayhi salam is the Nabi of banu Israel. And he was surprised. Musa of banu Israel, you've left your people, you've come all the way to me. What are you doing here? So anyway, on the basis of this rahmatan min indina, because we see in other ayat where Allah Ta'ala mentions about different anbiya alayhim salam, Allah Ta'ala mentions that we gave them rahmah, and ulama say on the basis of rahmah, rahmah means nubuwa, prophethood. So some people say he was a prophet of Allah, others say he was not a prophet of Allah, he was a wali, he was a saint of Allah. And different, even in recent times in Pakistan, you had two great mufassirun, Allama Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, and then you had Allama Idris Khandali rahmatullahi alayhi. Both of them wrote two tafsirs. Each of their tafsir is called Ma'riful Quran. Mufti Shafi Sahib in his Ma'riful Quran emphasizes the fact that Khidr alayhi salam was a Nabi of Allah. Allama Idris Khandali in his Ma'riful Quran says that Khidr alayhi salam was not a Nabi of Allah. So matlab, this difference of opinion is there, and it's a valid difference of opinion. Okay, was Khidr alayhi salam, his name is going to come Khidr, was he a Nabi or was he a Wali? And, you know, there's so many opinions, and Allah knows best the reality. But those who say he's a Nabi of Allah, they say because some of the things he did were in the Shariat of Musa alayhi salam, they were haram. In the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam, they were haram. So the only reason he could do them is because he had a different type of Shariat that was working for him. Because if he's a wali is bound to the shariat of the prophet of the time. So if he's a wali, he has to follow Musa alayhi salam shariat. If he follows Musa alayhi salam shariat, it is haram for him to do the things that he did. So on the basis of this, but Allah Ta'ala knows the haqiqat. Allah Ta'ala says, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. We had taught him special knowledge from our side. This is called, from here, this مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. This is where they get the term, عِلْمُ لَدُنِّي. It's also called ilm wahbi, special knowledge that you don't get. One is called ilm kasbi. Ilm kasbi. knowledge which is acquired, where a person goes out, sits with a teacher, learns from them. For example, we're all sitting here, we're learning. This is called ilm kasbi. We're learning something, taking it back. Ilm al-ladunni wa ilm al-wahbi is where Allah Ta'ala puts knowledge straight into the heart of the servant. This was the Anbiya alayhim salam, all had ilm al-ladunni. All the Anbiya alayhim salam had ilm al-ladunni. They didn't have a teacher. Their muallim, their teacher was Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Similarly, many saints, many pious people have ilm al-ladunni. Many aspects of deen, of shariat, just open up to them because of their ta'alluq, their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was given an example, one of the great pious walis of India, Haji Imdad Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala Makir, rahmatullahi alayhi. You know, someone was discussing this hadith in front of him. They said, oh, this hadith, al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. Ghibat, backbiting, is worse than zina, worse than adultery. How does that work? That doesn't make sense rationally. Zina, adultery, is such a despicable bad thing, and backbiting, you know, people do it all the time. Not, you know, it's something which is much more normal. How is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying ghibat is much worse than zina? Straight away, he was not an alim. But this is where we talk about ilmul ladun. You know, the secrets of shariat, the secrets of deen open up in front of them. He said, I'll tell you why. He said, and this is nothing that you can find in any book. He said, because when a person does zina, it's between him, there's two people, and it's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've done something privately. So it's a personal issue, and it's going to cause fasad and corruption to a person themselves. But backbiting causes societal harm. Society gets affected. Because of one person's backbiting, so many people become badguman about another person. If I backbite about a person, now everybody's heard that, they will say he's such a bad person. And then that will spread. So society becomes corrupted. So because mu'asharati torpar, in terms of societal harms, ghibat has a much worse effect than zina does. And this is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. Straight away came to his mind this thought. Matlab, ilm of deen and the deep understanding of deen opens up to them. One great scholar in India, his name was Shah Waliullah Muhaddith Dehlawi rahmatullahi alayhi. He's written a book called Hujjatullah al-Baligha. Amazing kitab. And you know why he wrote it? He said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream told me to write this kitab. Okay, write a kitab on the asrar of shari'at, on the secrets of sharia. When you pray salah, why do you perform it like this? When you fast, why do you do it like this? What's the secret behind it? What's the wisdom? What's the hikmat behind it? Ek hai main namaz padh raha hu kyunki mujhe namaz padhna hai. Farz ki Allah Ta'ala ne mujh par farz. Allah Ta'ala has made it farz upon me to perform salah, to fast in Ramadan, to do certain things in a certain way. What's the wisdom and the hikmah and the reason behind it? Something very interesting. Allah Ta'ala opens it up unto the hearts of His saints. So this, he says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed me in a dream to write this book on the secrets of sharia, and he wrote it, Hujjatullah al-Bali. So these are examples to say that this is ilmul ladunni. Allah Ta'ala opens up into the heart of His saints, of His pious people, many secrets of sharia. Sometimes it's knowledge about certain things. Certain awliya-i kiram, certain buzurgani deen can know things that will happen in the future. They could look in your life, tell you what situation you're going through. This is all called ilmul ladunni. But remember one thing very important here. This knowledge of future events or knowledge of specific situations can also happen to a non-Muslim. It can also happen to a non-Muslim. When the partition of India took place, India and Pakistan, and when all of these situations happened, many Hindus wrote books in which they said, we had dreams where we saw that Pakistan was going to happen. We saw that the British were going to leave India. So knowledge of future events can even happen to non-Muslims. So just having knowledge of future events themselves, or having knowledge of hidden things themselves, does not mean that you're a wali of Allah, you're a saint of Allah. Rather, you have to be practicing upon shari'at first. You have to be following shari'at. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a Jewish boy, Yahudi boy. This boy would look at you and he would be able to say things about you. Private things that nobody else should know, he'd be able to say it. So the Jewish people, they made him like a buzurg, like a saint. So they would put him on the street, and anyone that was passing by, they would bring him, and everybody was scared of him because he would just start saying things. I know this about you, and I know this about you, and I know this, and I know what's going to happen in your future, I know what's going to happen in your life. He just knew. So Nabi sallallahu, in the books of Tafsir, they mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking past, and they had this boy there. So the boy said, I know you're Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, tell me what I'm thinking. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started thinking about the ayat of Surah Dukhan. So the boy started saying, Dukh, Dukh, Dukh. And he couldn't go further. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he knows what I'm thinking, but Allah is, because the ru'b or the jalal of the Quran is so powerful, he's not able to go past. You can't even say Dukhan. He's saying dukh, dukh, and he can't go forward. Matlab, he's got something, you know, but this is nothing. If he doesn't have Iman and Islam, then this fortune-telling or, you know, sight-seeing, all of this means nothing. But sadly, many of our own Muslims are going to fortune-tellers, sight-seers, and they're losing their Iman at their hands. See, for every problem, they go to fortune-teller first. I know personally, you know, people that we studied with, even in madrasa, I remember, you know, Hafiz al-Quran mentioning to me how many times his own family go to fortune-tellers. Because they go there and the fortune teller tells them something and it comes true. It comes true. So they say, we go there. The ulama say the iman of someone who goes to a fortune teller is taken away. The iman of someone is taken away. They go to a fortune teller, sightseer. But we need to understand that they're able to do this. They're able to do this many times. But just having this knowledge of certain incidents, certain events, certain secrets in a person's life does not make you a wali of Allah. You need to be practicing upon Shariat. You need to be following the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And on top of that, if someone has some ilmul ladunni, then we're going to say, okay, chalo, mashallah, that's fine. It's an extra thing. It's an extra thing Allah has given them, but it's not something that anyone should chase. It's a fuzul. Allah Ta'ala baz logon ko de dete, Allah baz logon ko nahi dete. Isse kuch koi fark nahi padta. Ke ye wali hai chunki iske paas kuch ilm al-ladunni hai, aur ye nahi hai chunki iske paas nahi hai, isse nahi hai. Right? Are we all understanding what I'm saying, Jay? وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَى Musa alayhi salam said to him, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ Can I follow you? Can I stay with you? آپ مجھے اجازت دیجئے کہ میں آپ کی صحبت اختیار کروں عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِ مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا In order for you to teach me some of the knowledge that Allah has given you. Please teach me. The ulama mufassirun say Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is such a jalali nabi. So much jalal. Alayhi salatu wasalam. But look at how much adab and respect he is adopting here when he is asking Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, please, can you give me permission? Please, I want to stay with you. Please, I want to learn from you. You have ilm that I don't have. I'm so desirous and I'm so eager to learn this, acquire this. قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam said, O Musa, you will definitely not be able to have sabr with me, have patience with me. Why did he say this? And with so much taqid, the taqid, innaka lan, you will never be able to sit quietly and listen to me. From here we understand that when a student goes to a teacher, it's very important that they listen to the teacher and they sit quietly, especially awwal marhala, in the beginning stages, they listen to them very carefully and they benefit from them and they don't object. It's from the adab of learning ilm. But Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam saying to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, you won't be able to do that with me. Why? Because Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam knew that I am going to do certain things which go against your shari'at. They go against your shari'at and you're a Nabi of Allah. There is no way someone can break a command of shari'at, a command of Islam, and you stay quiet. Not going to happen. Because you're a Nabi. You know, like us, someone breaks a law of shari'at in front of us. Maybe we might object, maybe we might not. Maybe we might feel bad about it in our heart, maybe we might not even bother. But a Nabi of Allah, someone breaks a law of Allah in front of them, they're just going to sit there quietly watching. No, Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam knew Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam wouldn't be able to just sit there and allow things to happen. So he said, O Musa, what you will see me doing, you will never be able to have sabr upon it, patience upon it. وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا And how can you be patient with those things which go beyond your ilm, beyond your knowledge? You don't have knowledge regarding them. And remember, this does not mean in any way, shape or form that there's any nuqs, any weakness, any deficiency in Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Not at all. There's ulama, say Allah, Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi, and others mention that you can have a person who is an expert in everything, but for some other small ilm which is not necessary, they go to someone who is lower than them in rank. It's not necessary. Whatever ilm Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam has is not zaruri ilm, it's not necessary ilm. The fact that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam does not have that ilm doesn't make a difference to his prophethood. He's still a perfect prophet of Allah and he has all the necessary ilm that is needed for him to be a prophet. This is all extra knowledge. That's not required. There is so, but the point here is for a person to understand there is so much ilm that we as human beings will never acquire. Allah Ta'ala has kept hidden from us. So many things. And this Mufassirun mentioned even further that the ilm Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam had is ilmu asraril kawniyya. Is knowledge about the secrets of the universe. Knowledge about the secrets of the universe, the hidden things in the universe. This is not knowledge that anybody needs to go into. If Allah gives it to someone, they give it. Many buzurganidin, pious people, subhanAllah, they sit down in muraqabah, and they'll sit down in meditation, and they're off. and they go through the galaxies, they go through here, they go through this, and they get so much knowledge. All of this is not necessary. What they're trying to do through muraqabah is they're trying to get to Allah Ta'ala's ma'rifat, Allah's love, Allah's muhabbat. But as they get there, they will go through all these extra channels of knowledge that they don't need. Now if somebody falls in there and says, oh, this is so amazing, I'm going to go into meditation, and I'm going to, and they even have a term for it in English, it's called astral projection. It's called astral projection. The Buddhists do it and the yogis do it. What they do is they go into meditation and they imagine that they're going into space or whatever, and they feel their soul actually leave the body and go into space. And they explore planets and they come back, and they genuinely, their soul is exploring. And you can train yourself to do that. That's why the Buddhists can do these type of things, and the Hindu yogis, and they can do these type of things. But there's no benefit in it. Islamically, there's nothing good nor bad in this. So if a person, if a pious saint of Allah Ta'ala, through these spiritual exercises, trying to get close to Allah Ta'ala, and if they acquire certain knowledges or secrets of the universe, it's fine, but it's not required, it's not necessary, it's just a, you know, like a bonus. You just know a fact. It's like I opened a book and I just learnt a different fact, which does not benefit me in my connection with Allah Ta'ala, unless it can do, if I use it to tafakkur and reflect and ponder over the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. We understand things, yeah? I know maybe it's a bit deep what I just said there. But Sayyidina Musa, so the point is here, Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam saying to Musa alayhi salam, O Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, I know you won't be able to have patience upon what I do, because this is beyond your understanding. What I'm doing is a branch of ilm that you don't have. And this is very important to understand, that Allah Ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salam certain ilm that he didn't give to Khidr alayhi salam. And Allah gave Khidr alayhi salam certain knowledge that he did not give to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And so beautifully something happened as they were traveling. When they were sitting there, Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam saw a bird that was sitting on the hull or on the stern of the ship, and it had taken a drop of water with its beak from the ocean. Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam said, Oh Musa, can you see that bird that's taken that drop of water? And can you see the ocean? All of my knowledge combined and your knowledge combined is like that drop of water to the knowledge of Allah, which is like the ocean. Our ilm is nothing. So never forget, okay, whatever I have, okay, it's just a drop of whatever Allah. So this is all teaching Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam a lesson that we should never always regard Allah Ta'ala as anything, in any capacity of Allah Ta'ala, that we are not able to grasp it or understand it. Allah has far more than we can even understand. وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, قَالَ, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, سَتَجِدُنِي, you will find me, O Khidr, إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ, if Allah wishes, صَابِرًا, patient. I won't object to what you do. I won't question you. And this is important. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is teaching us the etiquette of a student of ilm, that when they sit in front of an ustad, a teacher, a sheikh, they sit quietly and they listen. They don't object. They don't, contradict them, go against them. Even if sometimes the ustad, sheikh says something wrong, with a lot of adab and humility, and subhanAllah, our mashayikh and our ulama and our salafus salihun, pious predecessors taught us, even when objecting to a teacher, they would do it with so much tawadu. Many times they would not say anything. They would just, it's a human mistake, you can make a human error, even if they know the ustad is making a clear mistake. But if they would ever rectify, they would rectify in such a beautiful way that the ustad would say, shabash. You know, the adab is maintained, the respect of the teacher is maintained. Musa alayhi salam said, O Khidr, if I travel with you, you will find me, inshallah, sabira. I will be patient, I will never object to anything you do. وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا, I will never disobey you in anything. تو شاگرد کو استاد کے ساتھ یہ طرز اختیار کرنی چاہیے کہ میں کبھی بھی آپ کی نافرمانی نہیں کروں گا, آپ کا ہر بات میں سنوں گا. This is very important, ethical knowledge. Why did Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam say this? Why did Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam say this? Although Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam is telling him, Oh Musa, if you stay with me, you're not going to be able to be patient. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is thinking, Allah Ta'ala has sent me to you. Allah has sent me to you to learn ilm from you. How can you do anything wrong? If you did anything wrong, would Allah send me to you? Allah Ta'ala has sent me to you because obviously you know Allah Ta'ala approves, and Allah is razi with you, Allah is happy with you. So if I'm attaining ilm from you and Allah is pleased with you, I will never go against anything you say. I will be very respectful. I will be, but Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam knows, okay, O Musa, what I'm about to do is, you are not ready for it. You're not ready for it. You won't even understand it. So I know you won't be able to be patient. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, no, I'll be patient. But with that he said, Inshallah. So already that lesson, even though I know as a student of ilm, I am going to be fully respectful of my ustad, still I'm a human being. Weakness can happen from me, mistakes can happen from me. So to allow that clause, the exemption, that if I do object, you know, it's never from my own will. It's accidentally, it's not on purpose, it's not to disrespect you. Inshallah, I will try my best to listen to everything you say and to be patient. Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam said, قَالَ فَإِنِ اتَّبَعْتَنِي أُمُّسَى عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. If you follow me, if you stay with me, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ. Don't ask me about anything, حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. Until I myself pass on that, the reality of that thing to you. Convey the reality of that thing to you. But if you stay with me and you see something which you don't understand, that you want to question, don't question me, wait for me to explain it to you, I'll explain it to you later. Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam knows Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam will not be able to remain silent. He knows this. But he's still trying to give him an opportunity that, okay, if you want to learn from me, know that I'm going to do things which you don't understand. Just stay quiet, I will explain them to you. I think from Fantalaqa, as they travel, what happens, inshallah, maybe we'll do that next week. Otherwise, it'll become too long. Allah Ta'ala give us all the correct understanding. Allah Ta'ala give us the reality and give us the ability to understand the reality of these ayat. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.